All right. Good evening, everybody. There's a few people here. It's good to see you guys. For those of you who aren't here yet, for whatever reason, we miss you, but at least we're able to kind of be with you in Christian spirit. Before we go any farther, we would bow our heads in prayer, because I think it's never a bad call to after. Lord, we thank you so much for the multitude of blessings you pour out. Even in the midst of hard circumstances and confusion and pain and even suffering, God. Lord, it's especially in those moments that you remind us over and over again that you are a good God who has good plans for us. Not for us to necessarily avoid the valley of the shadow of death, but that you promise to take us through it on your own terms. And we thank you for that. So God, as we, those of us who are able to gather here in person tonight, and those of us who gather in our own homes, but we lift our spirit up to you, that we might enter into your throne room with expectancy, Lord. Expecting you to meet us here and to pour out your blessings in your own way and in your own time. So God, we ask that you just be here with us tonight, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to start on number 544 in the Great Hymnal.
Redeeming our love to proclaim, redeeming our love, blood of the Lamb, redeeming with mercy, His challenge forever I am. Redeeming our love, blood of the Lamb.
Thank you.
I was told to take my mask off. First, you got to put your hands up in the name of Jesus. Whew. Hallelujah. Is it not good to be at church on a Wednesday night?
Amen. Amen.
Very exciting. You know, we have many things to pray for, but we serve a mighty God.
Yes, we do.
And so tonight, we'll just go to prayer real quick and remember a few things. Father, we want to remember Liberty Baptist Church. You blessed her again. It is amazing to have our doors open. Oh, you do not understand. I guess some don't. You do. We do. How sweet it is to gather together in our prospect. There's a certain amount of time we need to have time alone, and we appreciate that. But we get encouragement from gathering together, Father God. We thank you that the name of the Lord is such a strong tower, and we can run into it, and we're safe. So, Father, we just hide in your name, Father God, in that tower of love and grace and mercy, Father, and protection. Father, we thank you for our nation, for our leadership, Father, for all those that are in authority over us, from the federal down to the state and our local principalities and powers. Father God, there, you are with them, guiding them, Lord, that the Spirit of God be with them and encourage them to make decisions that are wise for our country. Father, thank you for the word that's going to be spoken tonight, for your love and your touch on each and every one here.
Yes.
For all those that aren't present, Father God, we lift them up to you. For those that aren't listening, we've been praying for, Father.
Yes.
Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. Jesus,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Danny. Thank you very much. Put your mask back on.
Okay. So, we're going to sing this next song. I was able to be here this last weekend. I was in Waco with my wife's family for some extenuating circumstances. But while we were down there, we were able to, her grandma could play the piano, and so we ended up having a small worship session there. It was really good. But her grandma said something about this song right after finishing it. And she was talking about how the phrase comes up, tune my heart to sing thy praise.
Amen.
And she was talking about how the piano is constantly having to be tuned and retuned and retuned and retuned. Because the more you play it, whether you play it or not, it gets out of tune. And it was just such a wonderful thought to be reminded that our hearts need to be retuned over and over to sing God's grace and praise. So, for that, we're going to sing number 15 in the great hymn. We're going to sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Yeah.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Thank you, Paul. Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you, Jacob. Amen.
Okay. So, I'm going to sing this song that has a special tonight. It is called Here I Am to Worship. And I'll just leave it at that. Facebook Live right now, you're invited. Amen.
Come be with us here. And if you want to watch us on Facebook Live, we've not done this, though we don't have anybody around here that has stepped forward and said, I am a Facebook wizard. And I am a Facebook genius. Because I need somebody to do that, to get everything started, to make sure that we understand more about how to be able to get this up, because we do know this. If your life, those of you who are watching, and the lives of those that you love, your family, and if America is ever going to become more than what is happening to us right now, it's going to be because of the Word of God. Amen. The Word must go forth. It doesn't have to look pretty. It doesn't have to sound pretty. It just needs to go forth. And that's why we gather together. Because we know the things that God wants to accomplish, He wants to accomplish by His Word. And so this evening we're going to be looking into the Scriptures and we're going to be seeing Jesus in the Old Testament. Most of it's going to be in the book of Isaiah. Before we begin that, there are some announcements that I need to make. A week from tonight, we will be having the Lord's Supper here. That's the second Wednesday night of the month. Tonight is the 6th, I believe it is. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. And a week from tonight will be the 13th, so that'll be the second Wednesday night. And we'll be having the Lord's Supper, and you'll say, how do you do that? Wearing masks and wearing gloves. Well, we've already done it this last Sunday morning. I think it turned out rather well. We're looking for it to turn out even better. And if you're looking for a place that you can come and be a part of a blood covenant with God, then we want to invite you to come be with us. Especially all of those of you who are used to doing this on a Wednesday night. I think with the way we're social distancing and the way that we're wearing masks and gloves, that you'd be very safe here. So we'll see how God will work all that out. And we want to invite you to come and do that. And you'll say, well, some churches won't let me. Well, do you believe that only the blood of Jesus can pay for salvation? That's a good question to answer. If you can say, yes, I do, then we say, that's good. And do you believe that only Jesus can live the perfect life? And if you say, yes, I do, and we say, that's good, then come on. We'll talk to you about all the things that we do here and about how that you can be a part of that. So you're invited to come to Liberty Baptist Church next Wednesday evening. Thank God for us being able to be together. So a couple of announcements. That was one, is we're going to be doing that. This summer, we will probably not have our cafeteria open at all. Those of you that are used to the cafeteria being opening, we're hoping that we can open it up, but we've not been given any direction or precautions that we need to take for that to happen. And so we're just looking at it and saying, we'll do what we can, and as quickly as we can. So that's not going to be happening. Of course, some of you would say, well, we were back in February and March, we had that first Sunday meal. Well, I hope you enjoyed it, because it may be a while before we're able to have our first Sunday meal again. I mean, it was homemade. It was amazing. People really enjoyed that. I probably enjoyed it more than anybody else because I love good food. And so, and if you've seen what's happened to me since I've been on our quarantining and social distancing, you say, you do love good food, don't you, Phil? I say, yes, I do. So anyway, we won't be able to do that. There are other things. Right now we're not having Sunday school, so if you're thinking, where will I be able to drop off the kids? Look, we're going to get that as quickly as possible, but we've got to get all of those things ironed out. But we are having church. We're having it at 8 o'clock in the morning, on Sunday morning, at 9:30 in the morning. You say, why are you having it so many times? Well, because before all this happened, we were having 3 services on Sunday morning, and 1 on Sunday night, and of course this Wednesday night, Wednesday evening service. And so we invite you to come and be a part of the body of Christ rising up in faith and going towards the throne of God. Come and join us in that. As in these dark days, God is able to continue to use the body of Christ for the glory that He wants to bring about in this world. Most of us are thinking about how I can't go anywhere and I can't do anything and I'm afraid to get out. Well, we do not. I thank God for earlier in this service hearing about how we don't need to be moved by fear. We need to be moved by faith. Amen. And so we ask you to come and to be a part of us. All right, let's look into the Scriptures this evening. We're going to look into the book of Isaiah, and we're going to find Jesus in the book of Isaiah, because the book of Isaiah has the Messiah all the way through it, and we know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God. So let's look in there. First of all, we're going to look in chapter 7, and in chapter 7, in verse 14, we see prophecy that was made that Jesus fulfilled when it says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign," speaking to Israel. The church is nothing without Israel. We didn't replace Israel. We've been grafted into Israel. And we've been grafted into all the promises and blessings. That's what we do when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're celebrating the blood covenant. We'll be talking about that a little bit this evening. And that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to Israel. And it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." That is God with us. Somebody ought to say, thank God. Thank you, church. I appreciate that. And in the ninth chapter, there's another portion of Scripture that talks about the Messiah, because we want to know that we're looking for Jesus. Even in these dark days here in America, whenever we've got this thing that is a pandemic that's going around, and when they try to use fear to separate us, so we're coming together, and if we're being separated, we're being separated because we're filled with faith. And if we're coming together, we're not trying to go beyond the precautions that they're giving to us, because we need to come together to exercise faith. And in the ninth chapter of Isaiah, starting with verse 6, it says, "For unto us," this is talking about Israel, "for unto us a child is born, unto us a church, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Do you ever remember a time whenever Jesus was seated upon the throne in Jerusalem? I'm looking forward to that. I hope that all of y'all are looking forward to that, because we're going to be a part of it. We're going to enjoy it. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, everybody read it with me, "Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be a quick end." That's not what it says. There shall be no end of the increase. And it will increase, and it will be a marvelous abundance. It will be an abundance that flows into every nation, that flows into every community. Right now, we're in America. We know that millions of people are out of work because we're having to do the social distance thing. We're wanting to get back so that they all can be back in their place. And we need to know that when Jesus, whenever he's seated upon the throne, that there will be the increase of his government will be with no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with justice, judgment and justice from henceforth forever. Aren't those not wonderful scriptures that are about Jesus? They are wonderful scriptures. So we're wanting to look into Isaiah chapter 61. I told someone earlier, as we're looking into the Messiah, and we're looking into the things that only he's going to be able to accomplish, and we want to look at it and say, am I going to be with my master? Is Jesus the Messiah my master? Am I going to be able to be in the places where he is accomplishing the things that he needs to accomplish? And so we're going to be in chapter 61. Earlier I told someone, I'm really wrestling with two different messages for tonight. And as I get finished preaching here in a little bit, some of these people are going to come to me and they're going to say, yeah, you were still wrestling while you were up there, weren't you? Well, that happens. Because I really was wanting to do something about a woman who was under such a great burden that she wept with such emotional strength that there was a man that stood by and watched her while she was weeping, and he thought she was drunk. Well, her burden was not her own. Some of you already know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Samuel's mother, Hannah. And I wanted to bring that out because most everybody I know right now is burdened. And there are moments whenever we're in tears before the throne of God. In fact, if you're a child of God and you're not in tears before the throne of God, then you better get ready for it. Because God has given us a burden to weep over.
because she wasn't just a burden for herself. She had an adversary. But her adversary needed for her. Now think about this. Her adversary needed for her to be burdened for the adversary, for the one that was causing her so much torment. Have you got anybody that's tormenting you? Well, you need to be burdened for them. And she wasn't just burdened for her husband and for herself. She was, although she was burdened for her husband and herself, she didn't just want a child. She said, she was talking to God, and she said, I've almost lost any reason to be able to glory in who you are. I don't see myself as being able to be able to glory over anything. And I need for you to know how highly you think of me. You're going to be burdened, and you're going to be weeping, because you need to know that God thinks highly of you and of all those that He loves, even everybody in America. People need us for the church to bring hope to them tonight. So we're going to start with the first verse of Isaiah chapter 61. And in this we see that it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is talking about the Messiah. It's not talking about Phil Thompson. You see, I get to enjoy it too. Because it's the Spirit of God is upon Jesus, and He's the head of who I am. Then off of Him flows the Spirit of God upon me. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Jesus, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He has sent me. First of all, do you know that the anointing is upon Jesus? And that the anointing needs to be upon you so that you can be effective for Jesus. So she can be effective for your loved ones. Like I was talking about Hannah. She needs to be effective for her loved ones. Do you know that the anointing is upon you so you can be effective for your adversaries? Yes, you need to know that. Do you know that the anointing is upon you because the child that would come out of Hannah that she was begging God for, she said, God, please, let me know that you're accomplishing works in my life. I will give back to you everything you give to me. Have you been willing to give everything back to God? Naked you came into this world, and naked you shall leave. What are you giving back to God so that He can do something wonderful with it? That child needed to come into the world, Samuel, so that the world could begin to be changed. Israel needed to be changed. Tonight, church, America needs one more time to be changed. And so we're seeing that here in this. So it says the anointing was upon Jesus, and He has sent Jesus. After Jesus arose from the dead, did He not give us a commandment to go into all the world? Has He not sent us? Do we not know that we're sent people? I have to ask everybody who's listening tonight, you at home, everyone here, have you been chosen to be sent? Do you know that? Now, I hear too many people give up excuses for why they can't. They might be saying, well, I don't have enough education, or I'm a stutterer. Moses was a stutterer, and he was willing to be sent. Everybody can have excuses for why they can't go. But have you been chosen to be sent? Well, if you're part of the church, you've been chosen to go into all the world and to teach all men whatsoever things that Jesus has taught us, and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And He has sent me. What has He sent Jesus to do? To bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. You see what sin does to all of us? It breaks our hearts. Everybody that's listening to me tonight, you may not know it. Many people know it now because of what's happened in this pandemic time that we're living in. The brokenness that has come upon us. And everybody has a broken heart that only Jesus can heal. And to proclaim liberty to the captives. Sin brings us into captivity. We need to be set free. If you're a believer, you need to be set free and know that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Who has been set free has been set free indeed. And it says there in the opening of the prison to those that are bound. In America, too many people are bound up in the poverty that's coming on from not being able to have a job. Too many people are bound up in the fear that comes with this current pandemic that's going around. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What I have to tell you now is that when all this happened, it happened back in the day when Jesus, with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, first came on Him. He went back to His hometown, to Nazareth. I don't know where all of your hometowns are. I hope that you don't think lowly of your hometown. He went back to take the fullness of the Spirit, to take the joy of salvation, to take the forgiveness of sins, to take the transformation that only the Word can bring. And he went into the synagogue on that day, and he sat down among them, and when the time came for people to get up and read, he got up to read. Now then, whether he chose this particular scripture, this is from Luke, the 4th chapter, whether he chose this particular scripture, or on that day, God had already preordained, because there are a lot of things that have been preordained for our lives, for the hope and the joy that is going to be available in the lives that we're going to have. We're going to have a life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so Jesus read these words to them and he sat down to the place where it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And as he sat down, they all looked at him because they'd never heard him talk like this before. He had grown up for 30 years in their midst. And they were seeing something about him. Tonight we gather together every time that we possibly can because we need to know something about Jesus that we have never known before. Like they were being able to see that day.
Amen.
And he said to them, this day these scriptures have been fulfilled in your hearing. Now you're hearing Phil Thompson speak, but I want you to know, Jesus said these scriptures have been fulfilled to be anointed, to be sent, to help the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those that are bound, and the restore the sight to the blind. We need to know that those things are, that's part of God's plan for us, the anointing to be upon us and to be sent. And so he stopped where it talked about the acceptable year of God, because after that, it talks about the things that have not yet happened. Are you ready for a little bit of prophecy? Because it says, after the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God. There's coming a day. Only one thing's going to keep you from the vengeance of our God. That's to know the one who's taken the guilt and penalty of sin away. So that when you stand before God, he'll say, I know you. You allowed Jesus to take your sins away. You believe that he was the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, to take away the sins of all nations and all people. And he's going to you will not know anything about the vengeance. But if you don't know Jesus, I'm telling you, you think things are bad now? There will be a day of vengeance and to comfort all that mourn. There's mourning that's going on right now. We need to believe in the comfort that we have in trusting in Jesus and the comfort that will come because of who he is. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion and to give unto them beauty for ashes. Have you ever sung that song before? Here at this church, we sing that song. He gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I got close. That beauty for ashes talks about something. When people were in great mourning, you know what they did in Israel? They took ashes and they sprinkled all over their head. Everybody that saw them said, what's wrong with their hair? Did their stylist do a bad job? No. They were letting everybody know where they were. God said, I don't expect you to wear ashes. I expect you to wear beauty. The word for beauty comes from the same word as wearing a crown. Have you ever heard about being given a crown, the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing? Have you ever heard about the crowns that are ours because of who Jesus is and how one day we will take all of our crowns and that we will cast them at his feet? That's talking about the beauty. I remember, what was the name of that margarine years ago? Where a woman would be sitting there and she'd take a bite of bread that had that margarine on there and suddenly a crown would be on.
Imperial
margarine. I'll always love doing that because I thought about I'm not going to be a woman. But that's going to be me someday. I'm going to have a crown that appears on my head. And so he gives us beauty, a crown for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning. Do you want to, whenever you've got the mourning and you're in deep sorrow and grief and tears are coming out of your eyes, do you want to know that there is coming a time when your there will be a sweet aroma from heaven that will be all around you, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We sing this song. It's a wonderful song. We sing it here at this church. That they, that's us, the ones that trust in Jesus, might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he, Jesus, might be glorified. Have you ever read these scriptures before? Have you ever seen Jesus like we're sitting here? Usually we stop right about here. We've gotten to verse 3. There's going to be a few more scriptures because there's only 11 scriptures in here. This is not going to be a long message tonight. And it talks about now. This has been talking about everything. The anointing is on Jesus, so we get to participate. The being sent is upon Jesus to be able to bring words of comfort and to tell them you can escape what's getting ready to come to this world. And it talks in verse 4 about the things that we're going to be able to enjoy doing because of who we belong to. We belong to Jesus. The church belongs to Jesus. And it says in here, and they shall build the old wastes. Have you ever seen churches that have suddenly fallen into a place where it seems like waste is everywhere? It's become a desert. Now, the Venezuela has seen this. Since 1948, they have been reclaiming the desert areas all around their land. If you could see what Israel was like today. At one time, it was a place where there was dryness. And there was nothing growing, and so many forests have sprung up there. We should be looking forward to the day when around us in the churches that we have here in America, that there will be a rebuilding that's going on, especially in the times when we're looking at an economy that they're telling us may never be the same again. Thank God for the fact that we shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities. I've heard recently, I don't think it's happening everywhere, but I've heard that there's a thing that's beginning to happen out of one of our great cities. People that are able to are beginning to move out of the city because of all the difficulties that they're having there. I don't need to tell you which one that is, but if you want to know, you can call Liberty Baptist Church, ask for me, and I'll be glad to talk to you about it. I don't know if it's happening everywhere, but I think there are people that are going to be suffering a lot in places where they don't have any hope or any future. And we're going to be thinking about what can God do with us. And it's also talking about the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Wow. This is talking about those that we don't know, especially for Israel. Remember, all of these words come out of Isaiah. He was speaking to Israel about the Messiah. But all scripture is breathed of God, and it's good for building us up and enabling us to live our lives. Anybody here this evening that knows that the scripture has built you up and enabled you to live a life that you never thought was possible? We're all going to face impossible situations. We need to believe that still it's going to build us up and to be able to face what we never thought we would be able to face and deal with. And the strangers shall stand. People will come that we don't know. Recently, in our time of having prayer here in the morning, we've had less than 9 every day, in case y'all are wondering. I'm looking forward to the day that we have too many that show up and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. But when our time of prayer here, a person brought in someone that I thought I had met before. His name is Joe. He came a couple of days, and after he'd been here a couple of days, he said, I want to join this church. Can I join this church today? And I said, of course you can. But I need to have you stand up in front of the congregation so I can introduce you and there can be joy. Churches everywhere need to know that strangers are looking for you. We need to know here at Liberty that strangers are looking for us, that they can add to us the things that God has called them to do. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. They won't be slaving. They'll be working and saying, I'm glad to work. I'm glad because your God is a God I want to know more about. Oh, brothers and sisters, Israel is prepared for that. When the nations will be able to say to them, ah, we want to know your God. The church in our days while we're still here needs to know there are people that are saying, I want to know God. And we have the opportunity to tell them about God. And what does verse 6 say? Now it's talking about Israel, but it's talking about us too. And you shall be made the priests of the Lord. And we here at this church believe in the priest, the believer priesthood, that all believers have been called to be priests. And we get to see right here in these scriptures, it talks about because we belong to Jesus, and because Israel belongs to Jesus, that we shall be called the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. They're going to say, our God. And we know our God because you have ministered Him to us. Does that not give every leader of a church, everybody who's listening to this, the most wonderful thought that you can belong to a body where people are saying, that's the place where I get ministered to? I don't often look at Facebook. But I was looking at Facebook today because someone was pretty much forcing me. You have to get my arm behind my back and be twisting it to be able to get me to look there. And there was a thing in there where people were talking about why they enjoyed Liberty Baptist Church. Oh, well, everything they said, I said, Lord, may it all be wonderfully true. And I was looking at it and I said, well, I could say those things. And one of the things they said is because whenever I go there, the Spirit of God always is there. And that's an amazing thing to be able to say about the collection of souls that there are here. That we want this anointing. We want the Spirit of the Lord to be upon us. And people will come here and they will tell us, we're aware of the Spirit of God when we come there with you. And it says here that that you will be called ministers of God. Let's get down to verse 7, because now we're going to talk about shame being turned into something else. Because I want you to, before we read verse 7, I want us to go to Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to start with verse 1, and then we'll come back to verse 7, and we'll finish out this evening. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, it says, comfort ye, my people, says your God. Have you been looking for anybody who needs comfort? Would you be able to give comfort? This is an important question for the church. If I came upon somebody who needed comfort, would I be able to give them comfort? Am I comforted enough in my worldview, in my ability to be able to see God at work, that I'd be able to comfort them? Here it says, comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably or kindly to Jerusalem and speak to her, cry to her. Let her know that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. You know of anybody that's always at war? They just can't seem to stop being at war. God says, I want to be your victory. Lay your weapons down. Let me lead you and take care of you. And that your iniquity is pardoned. For all has sinned to come short of the glory of God. We need to know that God wants to pardon, to take our sins as far as the east is from the west, and to drop them into the sea of forgetfulness. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now that's not a comforting word. That means that Israel suffered more than any other nation. That God's people have suffered more than any people. You know, if it takes me suffering more, I want you to hear something from my heart right now. If it takes me suffering more, that I might be able to comfort those that God wants to be comforted, then I want to ask God to let me be a part of that group of people. Because there's too many people that are not having any comfort at all right now, living around us. And it says here that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Tonight, do you know you're a sinner? Do you know that you don't want to receive double for all of your sins? That God's plan is for you to be blessed beyond measure? Well, let's read that next verse and we'll bring everything to a close. I would love to have been able to get all 11 verses. But as you can see, whenever I get onto something, I get carried away. And here in verse 7 it says, for your shame. What would cause anybody's shame? Well, it's our iniquity. Oh, we're in Isaiah 61, 7. I've moved back there. In Isaiah 61, 7, where we were, in Isaiah 61, it says, for your shame you shall have double. This is not the same as getting paid double for your sins. What if this is really talking about is all the things that God is wanting what the anointing is going to be brought into play by Jesus, what is being brought into play by Jesus being sent, what is being brought into play for that Jesus appoints unto those who belong to Him, and all those things. All those things that are being brought in there, that's God honoring us or those who trust in Jesus. Oh, that Israel all today was turned to Jesus. I am so surprised that so many believers are rising up among the Jews. But here it's saying, but for your shame you shall have double. That's not talking about shame. More shame. It's talking about double honor. When you trust Jesus, God wants to honor you. You shall have double honor. And it says here, and for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. For the confusion that they had, the nations are all in confusion right now. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this situation? What are we going to do about finances? What are we going to do about our people that aren't at work? And for confusion, they shall come into rejoicing. They shall come to rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double, not the double shame. That's the double honor because of who Jesus is. I'm excited about this message. I'm excited to be able to have believers that want to get together and see something new about Jesus. In Isaiah 61, we're seeing the Messiah. If I had been able to use all the notes I've got here, I'd have been able to tell you more about what Jesus is going to do and what we're going to do with Him. But you've looked at this and you've seen that because of the anointing that He's able to preach to the brokenhearted. He's able to go to those who are captive. He's able to preach the recovery of sight to the blind. He's able to give unto those who have their lives have been burned up and all they have is ashes. He's able to bring into place the crowning of those who all they should have are just ashes. And the oil of joy for mourning, He brings the oil of joy into play. Those are the honors that get to go to those that believe and trust in Jesus. So tonight, I'm hoping to be able to see Jesus in all of His glory, looking down at sinners and saying, come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden. During these days, so much of America is laboring and heavy laden. And we need to know that there's a Savior who wants to save us and forgive us and to be with us and to comfort us and to call us His very own and cause the anointing that's on Him to be upon us. And to let us know we've been sent to take the good news into all of the world. We're getting ready to close here in a few seconds. I think we may have a song at the very end. If not, we'll just be bringing everything to a finish whenever someone will step up here and be ready to push the finish button in a few seconds. And as we're doing that, have you heard about Jesus today? It's been a few days since Sunday. And it's been a long time since most believers have been able to come together as the body of Christ. It's a good day to say, I've heard enough to make my heart burn within me. I want to know Him more. I want to walk with Him. And we can use this as a final song this evening. And He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am